Haber FM, How Community Radio, is supported by the Fife Community's Mental Health and Wellbeing Fund through Fife Voluntary Action and the Scottish Government.
Hi there, and we're back. It's Ian here, and sorry that I missed this morning. I had to go and pick up an outfit because my daughter is getting married next Saturday. And we had a bit of a challenge with the jacket. But anyway, I'm pleased to report to the listeners in the How of Fife that the jacket and the trews and the waistcoat and everything is all good. So I can relax a little bit. I've just got a speech to write, but hey-ho, you know, in between Haber FM and editing and everything else, we'll just do that. It's our last day here on Haber FM on 87.9 FM. So thank you for tuning in across the How. Thank you for tuning in on the internet. We've now, I think, about 24 countries that have all been listening in, and you've been listening in for a while. Some of your listening time has been fantastic. So we're really, really chuffed with that. But thank you. But anyway, we come to our community spotlight part, and this today is live. So we have the creative artist Steve Brettel in the studio with us. Welcome, Steve.
Hello, Ian. Lovely to see you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming up to Burntart, to the Jubilee Hall, and joining us here. And we're just making this up as we go along, but never mind. But Steve, let's start, because one exciting thing, you've come hot from a new studio that you're working in down at the Kingdom Centre in Glenrothes. Yeah. Tell us about that. That's exciting.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I'm hot foot from giving the walls a double coat of emulsion, so I managed to scrape off all the excess paint off my chin and make it in here. Yeah, so that, I mean, it's a fantastic opportunity because it's something that's organised through Edinburgh Printmakers, and they've got a division called EP Spaces. And so they're like the go-between. They do the organising between the artists like myself and the landowners. So as I'm sure we've all seen, that there's a lot of vacant retail space around in a lot of these shopping areas. And initiatives like this, I think, are really going to revitalise these kind of centres. And it's fantastic to be part of that. So I got the key last week, so I was really excited with that. So I've been busy organising the space itself because I'm going to be doing lots and lots of different things. So people will be able to see. It's quite a visible space. So there's it's on the actual corner. It's what used to be the old Thomas Cook building. I don't know if people are familiar with that. So it's up at the Rothes Halls area of Kingdom Shopping Centre.
That's cool.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So part of it is going to be me working in there as an artist. So people will be able to come along, see me working, ask me questions about techniques and, you know, how I go about being an artist. And I'm also going to be offering a lot of opportunities to the community. Okay. So that could be how to draw, how to paint, basically just help them with their own creativity, which I think, you know, after the couple of years that we've all had, I think is really important.
No, absolutely. And we'll chat a little bit more about that in a second. But one of the things, so it's a gallery. It'll be a place for workshops, but all the time you're kind of like the artist in residence, really. So you're going to be kind of, it's your studio, you're going to be based there, and people can just wander in and ask you questions.
And I'm sure they will.
Brilliant.
And to tell you a funny little story, before I did the painting, I was filling in the holes on the wall with some polyfiller, and so I was up on the ladder, and then somebody stopped at a window and they're having a look at me. You know, and then I turned around. They were still there a few minutes later, and in the end, a small crowd gathered, and they were just staring at me. And I was thinking, well, what? And I think they thought I was making an artwork out of plaster on the wall, because I don't think it was that interesting that I was doing. You know, and they just thought, oh, you know,
trying to work out what's it going to be?
Yeah, exactly.
So, fantastic. Tell us about how did you get into the arts? How long have you been working in the arts as a creative artist?
Well, I went to art school in Wales many, many years ago in the 80s. Following that, I went to London and worked as a commercial artist. So that was about 10 years in total I was doing that. And that was working for publishing and advertising as well. Really good grounding and lots of different techniques and ways of working. But I basically got fed up of working in a studio. It was, you know, it was great fun working with lots of other artists in open plan studios. You know, of course, it's pre-digital then. I was always coming to Scotland on my holidays. So I was heavily into the outdoors. I was into walking and climbing and things like that. So I had the opportunity to break free from London and come all the way here. And that was in 1994, I think that was. So I still worked as an artist, but then heavily involved in the outdoors as well. So I taught some outdoor education for a while and then tried to bring creativity back into the outdoors. So that's where my interests lie at the moment is, heavily involved in drawing and painting, but with an outdoor angle as well. And I try and introduce other people to that.
Fantastic. Good. Because we were chatting earlier about you've been doing some work at Falkland at the estate. And pulled together. At the start of this project, just before, we had Mental Health Awareness Week. And the theme we were talking about was loneliness.
Exactly.
And that was something that kind of resonated with us from Heads and Hearts Scotland, because our organisation's platform really is trying to tackle loneliness and isolation as an issue, as a mental health issue, as a medical issue. And we have the science that says now that probably those of you that have been working creative arts for a while deeply suspected, but now the organisations like WHO and other universities and things have all combined to say, listen, doing things creatively is really good for you. It's unarguable now.
Exactly.
It's good. You must have seen that. You must have been involved in that, Steve. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that people need to, to be creative?
Well, I think a lot of people were taught they weren't creative at school and maybe had a bad experience at school. And a lot of people of my age that I work with these days, I mean, I'll maybe give you an example of I set up an easel with, drawing board and charcoal. And people come in and it's almost like they ask permission to make marks on a blank sheet of paper because they were told that whatever they do would be rubbish. And so one of my key interests in creative arts is showing that everyone is creative. And it's just the way, it's trying to give people the skills that they can find out how they are creative themselves. So it might not be drawing, it might not be painting, but it could be music, it could be anything. Or just thinking creatively that they can apply to their daily lives. And I think that raises self-esteem, confidence, and how we relate to each other. So I'm very much involved in bringing communities together through creative arts.
Sure, absolutely. And as you say, it's funny because I remember when you were speaking there, I remember at very, very early school, there was lots of creative activities. And I liked it. I liked being a leaf blowing. I'm imagining I was a leaf blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it all got very serious that, suddenly you had to learn times tables and grammar. And it was almost like, hang on a minute, can we get to play in the sand a wee bit longer? suddenly the pressure's on. And then you then you're fast tracked into, qualifications.
Yes.
Choose a career and all these different types of things.
Yeah.
And we kind of forget that we were all creative. And I think, and another sense was we played.
You're absolutely right.
And we imagined.
Yeah.
And
That's such a key word, isn't it? Especially as an adult, because so much of us forget how to play.
Yes.
So people need to be shown how to play and to be given the freedom again. But the work that I do, it gives me the opportunity to kind of sell that a little bit differently. Is, you know, I get people to play, I get adults to play, but I might not call it playing.
No, no, no.
You know, I'll set things up so that people can find out that for themselves. And you see the transformation that happens, especially if they're working with their son or daughter, who obviously knows how to play, and then, you know, mum or dad starts to loosen up and see the freedom that the child has to the creativity and experience that from themselves. And it's, you know, these are wonderful experiences.
You have to always give yourself permission to play again.
You're absolutely right.
It's so an integral part of being a human being.
Yeah.
There's a lovely intro by, I think it's Peter Jackson, the film director.
Mm-hmm.
But the Beatles, they did this thing where they recreated digitally the Beatles film Let It Be.
Yeah.
And it was kind of wonderfully restored. And in the foreword to the coffee book, being a bit of a Beatles fan, I watched it all. I watched all nine. Somebody gave me a gift or present of Apple TV, so I was able to watch the whole thing, like the anorak I am. And then I got the coffee book for Christmas as well.
Great.
And in the foreword, he talks a really interesting thing about those young guys grew up together. They were quite young, but now we're watching them. And the kind of pressures on in terms of they've got to record an album, they're going to try and do this concert and everything else. But the trust they have in what he said was creating music is playing. You're actually watching Paul or John and George at points coming in and going, I've got this.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, they've got the trust to go, nobody's going to go, oh, that's rubbish.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
That bond they had gave them the safety net to go, I'm essentially playing, okay? Because that's essentially what creativity is.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's like, you know, I've imagined something.
Yeah.
And now do you mind, can I share my imagination a little bit?
And so many, you're absolutely right. And so many people, especially doing the visual art like I'm specializing in doing at the moment, so many people say, is that right? Have I done that correctly?
Yeah. That's the example.
You know,
thing again,
that's wrong. You know, because people really start to be really judgmental about what they do.
Yeah.
And start compare themselves to other people, to other artists. And usually it's somebody really experienced and they're using them as an example. But people, you know, we're all like it to a certain extent. I mean, one of the worst things we can do, I think, is, and I do it myself, you know, you go online and you look at YouTube and you think, oh, I'll see what this person's doing creatively. And you think, oh, that's really interesting. And then you go on and you see somebody else demonstrating something and you start to think, oh, hold on a minute, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was, you know. And we're all susceptible to these
self-limiting. No, absolutely.
Self-limiting. Yeah, absolutely, no, right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a way of putting
imposter
it.
Imposter syndrome.
That's current
true.
These days, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it's true. Absolutely. I'm bashing through my second novel, the difficult second novel.
Wow.
But I'm very aware of imposter syndrome, because sometimes you kind of go, oh, that's not too bad, you know. And then you'll talk to, I've got some friends that are other authors, and then they'll go, I've just done my fourth novel or 25th novel or whatever, and you're just like, I'm rubbish.
We kind of have to bring that back to ourselves, don't we? And I guess in a way it links to mindfulness and finding ourselves in the present moment, in the present space that we're in. And it's acceptance, isn't it, of where we are in that moment. But it's not something that can be taught, really, is it? Something that we gradually get to experience, but with lots of positivity.
It's a culture change that's required, because we were talking, fun enough, in one of our community spotlights, we were talking to a mindfulness practitioner from Falkland. And one of the things he was just talking about that, you know, we've all got this balancing act where, you know, we are aware of our history. We're certainly very focused on what the future is. We've, you know, set your goals.
Yeah.
Make a list. Mm. You know, and there's so many pressures in modern life, and probably always in life.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, where are you going to be next week? What, you've got things that you need to be doing, whether it's work things or projects or personal things. You know, I've got a wedding next weekend, so the whole year has been dominated by this wedding. So it's all, we've all been living in the future.
Yeah.
For a year,
yeah,
around this one day,
yeah,
you know, which have, you know, which has caused anxiety and all kinds of different.
It builds up the pressure.
It builds up the pressure, and then, you know, sometimes we're aware of we're almost, you know, we're anchored in the past, but we actually need to give ourselves permission to go. Actually, we can leave it, and that ability to just take a moment. Mm-hmm. And go, okay, only now matters.
Yep.
Because it's how we react. It's how it's going to define our next, you know, the next week, the next month. And it's profound. But the culture's not about now, is it?
Yeah, and this is it. And I've reflected on that quite a lot with the work that I do and with the visual art especially. And what I try and do is give people a sense of place when they're actually creating the artwork. And so what I've been doing for the past couple of years is, say if I show someone reference, I usually use a projector, and I project the reference onto a wall. And I use a camera to demonstrate the techniques, you know, close-up techniques, something like watercolor, which is hard, you know, if everybody's crowding around a table to see exactly how the tutor is doing it. So it's kind of came out of that. So from using the still images, I've been using video, and then that's expanded into using sound with the video, right? So as I said before, I'm quite involved in the outdoors. So I'll maybe show somebody, rather than a still image, it'll be a still moving image with the sound. So it could be something like a waterfall,
okay,
which is a completely different atmosphere. So it's not like, you know, you're trying to learn to draw and paint with, you know, the radio on in the background. It's the sense of place, and it brings it back to that moment of creating. So I a lot of the time, I mean, I take people outside to draw and paint in the natural world as well. But I try and bring that indoors so that people, as much as possible, can get, you know, a similar experience. Yeah. And the feel is totally different. You know, people focus, don't start comparing themselves with other people, and then really just start to feel, you know, being in that moment. And I think that's so important. So that's what I'm kind of developing in my own work. And again, that's what this space in Glenrothes is at Kingdom Shopping Centre is going to be fantastic for. And that's why I've been painting the wall, because you know, I can project these images, and it's a lovely atmosphere. The sun comes through the window, and it'll just be a lovely environment in which to work.
Fantastic. Good. I don't know if you saw this great it was a lovely TV show that BBC Scotland did, which was Meet Me by the Hippos.
Oh, right.
And it was really about the fact that Glenrothes was one of the first towns to have a town artist.
That's right, it was, yeah.
Which is kind of really future thinking back in the 1960s.
That's right. And it's lovely to see the hippos still around.
And little, you know, pieces of art around.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
We were reflecting, because of course we're working in the High Five, but we were reflecting a recent trustee meeting that just how the lack of public art is in rural areas.
Yeah.
There's not much.
Yeah.
We came up with Jimmy Shand. And we've got a statue in Knockdermuchty, and I think there's an upturned boat in Dunshell.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from that, there's not a lot going on. So
that,
I think that's something that we need to address.
Yeah, absolutely. But creative arts in general, yeah. And it's, you know, it's experiencing these things, you know, whatever, you know, way people can, really.
Yeah. And people, you know, people need public spaces. I think they need creative spaces.
Yes, exactly.
Well. And the fascinating thing about it is that we're sitting in one, potentially, because this Jubilee Hall was gifted 125 years ago, to be exact, by the Haig family that we own.
Oh, yes.
May have had a famous distillery down in Markinch.
Uh-huh.
No longer there. But anyway, they gave the hall and the space to the villagers of where we are here. And that's the same across the Howe of Fife. All the village halls are still largely owned by the communities exist. And I think there's an interesting journey there to redefine themselves about how they can become creative spaces for the community. And they have been in the past for all sorts of activities and
for sure.
Different things like that. But hopefully we can use the lessons, if there's any lessons from the lockdown and COVID.
It's interesting how it's kind of nudged a lot of us in that direction, hasn't it? You know, because, you know, I've been doing a lot more work online and teaching online through Zoom, like a lot of us have been doing, and learning online as well. And I must say it was an amazing experience just turning up to meet you today, you know, walking in, you know, the village hall, and it's just a fantastic array of it's a professional studio you've got here.
Thanks to the funders, and again hopefully we can use this equipment for the community
moving
forward in different
ways. It's really exciting,
capturing giving the community a voice and finding ways to do that. You know, we were talking to the chap was in from Cooper Now the other day, and he was talking about the getting communities digital.
Yeah.
So there's that kind of hybrid that's interesting stuff. My wife works for the Bank of Ireland.
Okay.
But she used to work for HSBC, and she, I think at her busiest year, she was 127 nights away from home.
Oh.
And it was a truly global business. But back then it was like, you need to be in Mumbai tomorrow.
Yes.
You need to be in Singapore.
Yeah.
And interestingly, for 2 years, nobody's needed to be in Mumbai and Singapore.
Yeah.
Apparently, you can do it all from
things still work.
Yeah. So, she's not missing that. So it's fundamentally changed, the way that we work. Mm. And we talked about retail, and it's created an opportunity for you in terms of a retail space.
Yeah. Which hopefully I'll be able to help other people be part of as well.
But we're reimagining, I think.
Exactly.
We've got to.
Yeah.
Or the idea of an out of town retail park or industrial park for that matter.
Yeah.
Maybe we can think again about what the purpose is.
And how
people can now work in the community.
Because
pop up desk in the village hall if it's got internet.
Absolutely. Because digital is great, isn't it? Yeah. It's been absolutely fantastic to have that opportunity. But there's nothing that even how we're interacting today. You know, face to face, we're about 6 feet away.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. Completely different experience for being on Zoom.
Yes, Zoom's okay. It's got it's definitely here to stay, and that technology is. But it doesn't replace the face to face. However, it's probably good for the planet that you don't need to be in Mumbai.
Absolutely,
that involves a lot of carbon to get there.
What is it they say about, was it blended learning? Is it maybe it's blended living we need to have now?
And I think we've already started that journey because, things like Amazon and all these different things. Obviously, not everyone's a fan, but I'm using them just as an example. Other online retailers
are available.
Are available. But we've all, it's hard to, if the shop model from 100 years ago was... Yeah. They opened at 9 and then they closed at 5. Yeah. And then on one evening, they stayed open. Well, nobody's worked like that.
No.
for a while.
No.
So it's not a surprise that actually, I can just go online and go click.
Yeah.
And it turns up.
Yes. Yeah.
That's,
and probably you get something dropped in by a drone now as well.
So I think there's an interesting, we're at an interesting journey of things like that. However, to get back to the point, what we need, the getting together is important, and also allowing ourselves space and time to go, I need to, we communicate through stories, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We talk to each other, we build businesses, we interact all the time, and it's all about a story, right?
Well, it's interesting because we also have stories that we tell ourselves, don't we?
Yes, indeed, absolutely.
Which can be negative, of course, and especially through the pandemic. I'm sure a lot of us were going through that, you know, which again is, you know, where the creativity comes in, you know, so we can make those stories more positive for, you know, for people themselves, you know. So,
sure, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, and that's that little bit of history again.
Absolutely, know? Yeah.
Maybe something's happened in the past.
Yeah.
And we've told ourselves this story.
Yeah.
And that, I guess, a kind of key to mindfulness is feelings obviously are very strong.
Yeah.
But they're not always right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know? Well, it's like you were saying about imposter syndrome.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, is that based on fact? You know, yeah. You know, most of the time it isn't. You know, it's just what we tell ourselves.
One of the great things about creativity, in a sense, and allowing yourself to be creative, is it allows you to look at things in a different way, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
It's that ability to just move the camera to this another space over here and look, and get a different view.
You're absolutely right. Different height. That's a great analogy.
It suddenly looks a bit more different.
Yeah. You know,
like VAR.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Internal VAR.
Yeah. Yeah.
But somebody once told me that, of course, because our fight and flight, our instinct is, we're a bit like Google, but we're supercharged Google because our mind is going to, has to process information quick because it could save you.
Yes.
It's like monster coming.
Yeah.
How do I know? Mm-hmm. Do I wait till I see it just before it's about to eat me?
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps it's making a noise or something like that. So the patterns begin in our mind to form pictures and stories.
Yeah.
Of what's about to happen.
Yeah.
And our body begins to react to
that's
that.
Right.
Uh-huh.
That's
but right. However, unfortunately, you know, it's moving so quickly sometimes it because it's I've got this, I know what this is. And then it'll come back up with an answer.
Yeah.
And that once formed, it's hard to shift. Because trouble is it's often wrong.
Exactly.
And our sense of what's going on can often be wrong.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Just like Google is.
yeah, absolutely right. You know, and that, again, that's, you know, a great positive role for the creative arts, isn't it? You know, because it brings us back to that, you know, that non-judgmental space.
Yeah. Steve, so now that you've got this new centre, you're going to be in Glenrothes. What about the work you've been doing? You've been doing music workshops in the past and outdoor work and things. Will that continue, or are you kind of you're going to be focused on this location?
I'm going to be doing both, you know, because I teach at other places as well, like Forgan Arts Centre up at Newport on Tay. So what I intend doing is I'll partly be outdoors, but I'll be bringing the outdoors in.
Okay.
And people will be able to see, like, just before I came to see you after Glenrothes, I went to Riverside Park. And there's some lovely walks there that people really just don't know about.
Yeah.
And so I've got plans to take groups into the park, and we'll be doing some preparatory work there, and then we'll go and develop that in this workspace that I've got at the Kingdom Shopping Centre, you know, which is going to be great, you know. So it's kind of a bit of a blend, I guess, you know, another way of the blended learning.
No, that's great, good, and it's great work, isn't it? Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just on
absolutely.
The doorstep.
Yeah.
Steve, what about this thing I read recently, and that GPs are beginning to actually not prescribe, but they can nudge patients towards the creative arts, you know, doing something creative, joining a choir, you know,
exactly, yeah,
learning to paint or trying or just having a go, you know, and enjoying and various things. Have you come across that? Have you heard about that?
I certainly have. Yeah, yeah. In fact, I've got a GP who's coming to my classes at the moment,
you know,
but which is kind of slightly different thing. And it's amazing especially the environment itself. I mean, you look at countries like Japan that have the forest bathing, which is just being in, you know, in a space, in nature, and it could be just lying down and looking up at the branches moving around above your head. And it's bringing all these creative angles together, I think, isn't it? giving us permission to relax and flow with, what's the expression, you know, the flow and don't fight.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, if I've got any role in this at all, it's doing what I do and helping other people experience some of the, you know, the wonderful things I have throughout my life as well.
Are you still involved with your music and doing music workshops?
Yeah, I used to do quite a lot of community work, so things like community drum circles. So I still do that occasionally. In fact, I'm going to be at an event called Wildhood, the Wildhood Festival.
Okay, that sounds cool.
Which is a children's festival in Perthshire. And that's next weekend. So it's Saturday and Sunday next weekend. So I'm going to set up for that. So I'll be taking all my instruments in the van and setting up in the forest. Okay. So the idea with that is that we'll be making music with the forest sounds. And I've done these things before, and they have peacocks on the ground, and sometimes the peacocks come in and listen in and add to the the cacophony going on.
Why but, not?
Yeah, really? Exactly. Yeah. So I'm still doing some of the music. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
excellent.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Get out there. Yeah. Yeah. And again, your point about you know, being out in nature—that again, science has sort of told us. Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lovely project up in Lethem where they've got the forest garden, or they've got and the young children go every single day to the thing. I think that's just a
wonderful,
magical
isn't it?
Thing. Yeah,
wonderful.
Absolutely. More of that. Particularly being back in Fife for the last 14 days and coming up to this wonderful space called Tinnaburn Turk. Because with the view just out the as you look down the Howe and across to the Lomans, the light changes.
It's stunning,
so
isn't it?
Just been at different times of the day. It's kind of good to poke your head out, just go outside for a little bit and look and just what. You guys live in a lovely place,
especially with some of the weather that we've had recently. We've not exactly had an Indian summer.
That, no, well, May's well, supposed all to be our best summer month as well.
Exactly, yeah. But one of the upsides of that is because the skies have been so dramatic with all these rain clouds and rainbows, and it's fantastic.
Yeah,
you know. So, but you're absolutely right that, you know, the natural environment that we're so lucky to live in is fantastic. And to be honest, that's why I moved to Scotland.
It's so green. It's amazing.
All the rain.
I live in a city and a reasonably green place because I live on the Leith Links, which is quite green.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but you're just surrounded. It's just the views.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely. I'm going to miss it, really, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, it was and that colour change, but it's a lovely space. Anyway, Steve, thank you. We're almost at the end of our time, so really appreciate the time you've taken to come up for us, and good luck with the new venture in Glenrothes. So if people want to find out more...
Absolute pleasure,
If people want to find out more information about what you're up to, where did they go?
So my website is probably a good place to drop into, which is obviously the www.stevebretel.com. So that's StevebretelCom. You'll see all the links to contact me. Just drop me an email. And if you're passing through the Kingdom Shopping Centre, I'll have lots of signs up showing all the classes coming up. And I'll have some drop-in sessions that people can involve themselves in as well. So there'll be lots of things coming up. Probably the website's the best port of call.
Magnificent. Good. And we'll try and get our face social networking done and remind people where they can go and get that information as well, Steve.
Thanks for that.
Really appreciate it. Thank you very
much. Thank you.
I'm going to try and... press something and see what happens.
Your dedicated Havering station, 87.9 Haver FM.